Right now, I am talking about new production Extinction of the Learned Response, which details an intriguing scenario where scientists attempt to alter human behaviour. We are introduced to two scientists, Duncan and Marlowe, sitting with their two subjects, Rachel and Wells. The play delves into a twisted experiment where the scientists attempt to manipulate human behaviour. But things go awry when they realise, as Rachel and Wells grow older, they are not responding the way the scientists want. And I am joined by writer Emmy Ho and director Carissa Lecidello. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. Hello.
So I alluded a little bit to the story in my intro there, but would one of you or both of you like to give me or give everyone a little bit more of an in-depth synopsis?
Carissa?
All right, I'll do it. So you're exactly right. We open with two scientists sitting with their two subjects, and we learn that they've gone to live in seclusion and get away from the rules and work on this experiment together. And things seem to be going well, and the subjects are getting more and more human. So we're kind of wondering what they are, but of course things don't totally go to plan in the experiment. And as things start to get more and more out of hand, the two scientists who also are in a relationship start to... Yeah.
That complicates it.
It really does. And what ends up happening in the experiment really reflects back on how they feel about themselves and their relationship and makes them rethink everything that they thought was certain.
Okay, yeah. Wow, it's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I'm interested in these scientist characters. Are they, like, obviously there's a lot of tropes around scientists, especially doing crazy things. Do they embody kind of a normal person or more of like a crazy scientist idea?
I think what I was really interested in when I wrote it was mixing this sort of science fiction genre with real life. So I wanted it to feel like, you know, psychological realism, kitchen sink drama in this strange world, this strange scientific experiment world. And I think, so yeah, I really hope they feel like real people in a real relationship, and that's the core of the work.
And is it set in a contemporary context?
It's sort of, what do you think, Carissa?
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a contemporary nowhere. Like you know, it's in Australian accents. It very much feels like now, but we're not totally sure where they are.
Right.
So, yeah.
Bit of a sense of seclusion
going
on. Great. And so obviously the content of this show is a little bit twisted and particularly interesting. So I just wanted to ask, Emmy, what inspired you to tell this kind of narrative?
I think... way back when I was doing my undergraduate degree, I read The Island of Dr. Moreau by H.G. Wells, which is a psychological horror science fiction. And that is very genre. But I think that core of the idea, which I can't say because it gives away a twist.
It's always a balancing act between like...
But there's this real sort of grotesque, uncanny idea at the centre of the work, which I wanted to bring into this play and to sort of put that up against psychological realism and see what happens. So I think that's the core of it. And also, theatre is such a great place to explore language and what's underneath language. And I think that was a really central part of the play as well and why I wanted to write it.
And so you were both writer and director. Did you have much of a collaboration process between the two of you?
Yeah, we did. Emmy had written the play a few years ago when she was at NIDA as her kind of graduation work. So Emmy had sat with it for much longer than I have. But when we decided to put it into production, we kind of sat down together and were like, okay, this is what we both think. And I think along the way, I felt like my job was to make sure that I got the compass of the work right. I figured out what the compass was for Emmy and what mine was and how that worked together. And then along the way, yeah, we kind of were back and forth. You know, I'd be in the rehearsal room and then we'd chat and then Emmy might write something and we'd bring it back into the room. So it was always very moving kind of step by step together, which worked for me. Yeah. I don't know how it was for you.
No, it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And I also feel like you learn so much the second you see it up on the floor and in the actors' mouths. And I think that's really been an amazing part of the collaboration, is actually shaping it to this production as well.
And central to the production is this idea of like inviting audiences to question what makes us human. Why do you think that's an important question to ask? And does this work provide any answers at all or stimulation?
I think it does. And I think a lot of what I was interested in what makes us human is, how does language function in terms of what makes us human? How does language make us powerful or weak or inarticulate or articulate? And what's the difference between, I can't say that'll give something away, but like, I think, you know, those that can speak and those that can't speak. And what does that power dynamic mean? And so in terms of humanity and language, I think it's really closely entwined, and that is a real ethical question at the centre. And I think the answer is sort of left up to the audience. I think we do provide something, but I sort of, it's interesting to see what the audience feel as they walk away.
Have you been able to interact with audiences at all?
Yeah, we have a little. I on opening night, I kind of went around polling people. I was like, okay, so I want to know
what
like,
you think.
How did this bit of the story work for you, and what did you think about this, and blah blah blah. And it was really interesting getting people's different responses. And even we had a Q&A last night with some students as well. And it's interesting seeing how people come to work from different angles. And I think something that we were just talking about outside before this interview was about, you know, we've made a work that's intentionally a bit tricky, and there's a mystery in the story, but also in the way that it plays out, there is, you know, abstraction and things that aren't easily definable. And yeah, I don't know that you're able to come away at the end and go, oh, I know exactly what that was about. Like, I think some people might, but I think part of the exciting thing about the experience should be that you can kind of be leaning in and figuring out and processing, and maybe days later something will drop in and you'll be like, oh, I get what that image is or this idea. And yeah, so I think I'm interested to check in with people even like a few days after and see where they're at.
Totally.
In an ideal world, how would you want the work to affect audiences?
I think I want audiences to lean in and listen and feel the sense of the uncanny or the wrongness, but also the intimacy in the work. Like, I actually think that's always been, for me, part of the key of it is the sense of like longing and intimacy and emotions that can or can't be expressed. And so I think for people to be affected by the emotional heart and not just the sort of sci-fi plot is the goal of for me.
And what about you, Carissa?
Yeah, I think I hope that people have moments of quite a visceral experience in there, whether something taps you know, that it taps into them emotionally, and also that there is a kind of metaphysical fear that's under the work that I find really interesting. And I hope that there are moments where people get a flash of that and just leave feeling like they've had an experience that is in their minds and their bodies as well. Yeah.
That's nice.
So the Extinction of the Learned Response is showing at the Downstairs Theatre at the Belvoir Street Theatre from now until May 25th, and tickets only $25. We'll put all the details up on our show page so you can find them there. Thank you so much for joining us.